You're with Clement Maniatella. 702.
But right now, we start a conversation with the IFP president following what happened this past weekend. The IFP launching its manifesto at the Moses Mabhida Stadium. It was a packed Moses Mabhida Stadium. And the IFP president, Vilenkosini Hlabisa, presented the IFP manifesto. And as we have done with all the other big parties, we said we'll do four big parties following their manifestos, bring them on the show so they can take some questions from you if you have any about the commitments they've made. But we can also hear from them what commitments and promises they're making to you as South Africans. So Mr. Hlabisa joins us now via Zoom. Thank you so much for making time for us, Mr. Hlabisa. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and the listeners of this channel.
If you don't mind, Mr. Hlabisa, I'd like to maybe start off by asking, as a political party that is part of the multi-party charter, are you in support of this letter that the DA has written to the US, to the European countries as well, and as the DA member of parliament said, to some of the countries on the continent asking for additional support in terms of how the elections are going to be run here in South Africa? So they're asking for resources to be made available to bolster the deployment of independent domestic election observers ahead of the May polls. Is that something you support?
Clement, in a principle of observers, if you do not fear anything to be exposed, I don't see what is a problem. Because observers, international observers, is a principle which should be accepted unless there is something you know will be exposed through the involvement of variety of experts in that field.
Mm-hmm. So, and the difference, I suppose, here is the IEC has never said that they're not going to allow election observers. They allow, I think, about 120 international, regional, continental election observers every time we have elections. Nothing is going to be different this time around. It's the DA who is saying the stakes are so high and therefore we need additional support, which at least to me suggests they don't think the IEC is very much capable to deal with whatever may come as a concern they have, whether it's how the political parties conduct themselves. We already have a code of conduct that speaks to that. If the IEC does something that is wrong, behaves in a manner that is not permissible, there's the electoral court as well. So when you are making that call to these countries, isn't the suggestion that you don't have that much confidence on the IEC?
I don't think so, Clement, for one reason. The mere fact that you have so many international observers, it does not mean you do not trust the capacity of IEC. So any additional should not be an alarm or raise a query unless there is something you know extra international monitoring will pick up. Mm-hmm. What is very rare in a free and fair election. We must all agree, the 2024 elections, much is at stake. There has never been a time where the ruling party is almost clear now, especially with the advent also of Umkhonto weSizwe, that they will shoot below 50% in any way, as even the support that was going to be theirs is going to break away with Umkhonto weSizwe. So now anyone who can say there is nothing at stake in this election really will not be looking at the real politics of South Africa. So additional help and an extra eye is not something to worry about, but to say this will assist in ensuring free and fair elections. They will not have a decision, whoever is an international observer, but just to observe. The full accountability rests on IEC, and there is a way, if political parties are not happy, to approach the courts of law.
Okay, let me ask this final question on this. if the US doesn't send its observer mission, or maybe the European Union doesn't send any observer mission, will that have an impact on the credibility of our elections? So if we stay with our own regional, continental, and other observer missions, but that doesn't include the US or specifically Germany or Finland and all these countries the US has written, the DA has written to, will that have a, will you have a question mark on our, on the credibility of the elections?
Not at all. The credibility of election does not rely on certain observers. It most relies on IEC to do its job properly in a credible manner. The people who carry the responsibility is IEC. Any other observer who might not come is not a big issue.
Okay. Now let's move to your manifesto launch. This past weekend at the Moses Mabhida Stadium, it was quite a packed stadium. And as the IFP, you're making a number of promises to your supporters and also potential supporters that you want to vote for you. Let's start with the promise you're making around promising to reserve 80% of employment to South Africans. In what way are you going to do that?
Clement, this is in relation to the job opportunities made available in South Africa. In South Africa, we have a problem of foreign nationals. If you go to the hospitality industry, trucks driving, Uber driving, restaurants, in a number of areas, we want to ensure that at least 80%, because we know in some categories, there are specialized people who are foreign nationals with special skills, which we do not dispute and which we must learn from them, and they must share their experiences with us, which is an international practice, not only to be done in South Africa. Our view is that South Africans should be the first beneficiary in terms of job opportunities. We are sitting at 41% unemployment, especially amongst young people. These are people with skills, fresh ideas, and some of them are graduates, but they can't get job in our country. The only way to implement this, every employer will have to account as to who is employed in a particular job sector. That is where we will be able to detect whether people are complying or are not complying. And if they are not complying, the government, the new government, must go to an extent of making it compulsory. And if you deviate, there should be a way of punishment to those companies.
What kind of punishment? Because already the constitution, the constitution already does speak to South Africans being considered first when it comes to employment, unless, of course, we're talking about scarce skills. But as you know, there are many companies that are not adhering to this letter of the law. So, and the ANC itself, the ANC government itself has been trying to, through the Department of Employment, has been trying to find ways to hold those companies accountable. How would you do that? Ensure that, one, you are monitoring these companies and whether or not they implement the laws. And if they are not, what kind of punitive measures would you be suggesting as the IFP government?
Definitely, Clement, we will have to make it, in terms of the law, prescribe punitive measures to be taken against companies or employers who do not comply. You know, Clement, in terms of prices, where prices are regulated, anyone who is found transgressing, there is a punishment. We need to go to an extent of introducing such in order to not declare intention as contained in the Constitution, but enforcing the constitutional mandate that South Africans must come first. And you know, these companies they exploit the foreign nationals because some of them don't have IDs. And even those who have IDs, they can't complain because they know they are illegal in South Africa. They can't take up their matter. We shouldn't allow exploitation of the foreign nationals in South Africa. Whoever is employed should be given what is due to him or her. And the enforcement of this 80-20 ratio is what the IFP will want to see it done so that we address vigorously the issue of unemployment in our country, not just to declare intentions and do nothing thereafter to enforce them.
Okay. I see that you're also promising unemployed graduates a grant of 3,000 rand for a fixed period to assist them. How would that work, and where would that money come from?
Clement, we have a lot of money in South Africa, which is wrongly placed. Let me make an example for you. We have a bloated cabinet. The IFP is of the view we do not need the deputy ministers, some of them whom we are having. We will audit how many deputy ministries do we need. We shut down those we don't need. Even at ministry level, the Minister of Electricity, there was no need. It was a duplication and is costing millions to our country. That is one area where you must cut the excessive use of money in a way that is not prudent. And if you look at the corruption, billions, if not trillions, of money in South Africa disappear in the hands of corrupt people. And there is no consequence to that, and it has become a norm. If you can carefully consider where you deploy the resources of the country, you will get a lot of money which you redirect to create job opportunities to ensure that vacant positions, most of these graduates, Clement, doctors, teachers, social workers, nurses, to mention the few, in many hospitals, posts are vacant. There is no money to place these people. Go to schools, go to social welfare. The government must redirect the resources to where they are most needed and where you have graduates sitting at home, because it's a human waste, Clement. You spend billions out of NSFAS funding students, and when they complete, you condemn them to stay at home with their fresh brains, with which they should be contributing in taking our country forward. When it comes to money, there is money in South Africa. The problem, it is wrongly placed or wrongly used on areas which are not key to take our country forward.
The polls that have been coming through, election polls, are showing that the MK seems to be the party of choice in terms of its popularity in KwaZulu-Natal. Are you ready to go into a co-governance agreement with the MK party? Because at the rate things are going, and there are several polls that have come saying almost the same thing about how the MK is going to show up in KwaZulu-Natal, that's bringing about serious threat to you as the IFP and the ANC.
Clement, the MK does not bring a threat to the IFP for one reason. Mr. Jacob Zuma is well known in KwaZulu-Natal amongst IFP supporters. Of course, he is eating a lot from the ANC supporters. And we have seen in the by-elections where Umkhonto weSizwe contested, they are not eating from the IFP. Instead, they are eating from the ANC. So we are not worried in terms of the support. When it comes to the issue of coalition, the IFP is open to coalition with any political party with whom we share common values and principles. We are not yet clear on what the Umkhonto weSizwe is based. We want to listen to their manifesto, look at their policies, And if the numbers compel that you can't form a government without them, and there is nothing that prohibits you working together in terms of your principles, policies, and values, there will be no reason, because we do not hate political parties simply for hating them. The difference will be on the policies they want to implement, and we'll have to view them. Are they going to take our country forward,
yeah,
or we will go back where we are?
But you already have an idea of what their policies are. If you've listened to the leaders of the Umkhonto we Sizwe, including the former president Jacob Zuma, they've already given you an idea of what they believe. They want an overhaul of our laws. They said they want pregnant children to be sent to Robben Island. They said they don't want children to choose careers for themselves, that they're going to do away with that. In fact, when a child completes matric, they send them to the army, and then they'll choose for them what career to go for. They're against LGBTQI plus rights. That surely gives you an indication as the idea of where this party is leaning towards.
Yeah, Clement, I really don't want to talk much about MK, really. And because I hear what you're saying, and I've read that one. Some, I really can't believe it. I'm waiting for a manifesto to hear what they are saying. And I think we can take it from there, really. I don't want to dwell much on the MK, but what I've said is, on the basis of what they put in their manifesto, and if that is what they will say in the manifesto, I think the people of South Africa will have to make an informed decision in terms of their vote. And then we will see who will give them a mandate through their vote to become part of any government at any level.
Yeah, but based on what you've heard so far, you said you can't believe some of the stuff. So you'll wait for, for the manifesto.
Clement, all I'm saying is, you know, what you have just said, I've read it in some papers, and I don't think you can go there now in our country.
Okay, so it's probably just politicking. Let's wait for the manifesto. You're saying that the MK party is eating from the ANC votes, but as the IFP, I mean, you don't want to be the official opposition in KwaZulu-Natal forever. You want to be the leader of that province. So how do you move from being an official opposition to gaining control of the province if you are not eating from the ANC votes? So the MK party, what I'm suggesting to you is, it is a threat to you, not only because they're eating from your supporters, it's a threat in that it's disrupting your plan to take control of KwaZulu-Natal, because the votes that the MK is eating from the ANC, or people that don't know who to vote for, that's where you should be playing if you want to take over KZN.
Clement, the people of KwaZulu-Natal, from 2021 to date, the score is 12-1. The IFP has taken 12 wards from the ANC, and the ANC have only taken one ward from the IFP. So clearly, when the MK was already in the by-election, we took a ward from the ANC in Newcastle while the MK was still there. All I'm saying, the IFP definitely, if we look at the support people are giving us, we will be leading the government of KwaZulu-Natal. The ANC was going to survive with a narrow margin, but with the advent of the MK, they are just going to be below even 30%. If you look, because Umkhonto we Sizwe, I agree with you, is doing well on the ground, and they are taking from the ANC. Doesn't work us is that they are not getting our support, but they are also an advantage to us, because they are making the ANC more weaker than it would have been without the advent of the MK.
Okay.
That is a plus on our side.
Let's take some questions.
Congratulations to Mr. Hlabisa and the IFP. I think it was beautiful. I saw the scenes on TVs, the stadium, Moses Mabhida. I think it was just beautiful. Congratulations. My question is simple. Are you guys ready to co-govern with the MK party and the DA, because if I look at your numbers and the prediction of the MK party, it's possible that you might guys need each other, the three of you, to co-govern the whole KZN. And thank you, Sfiso Richards-Bey.
Good morning, Clement. Please ask Mr. Thabisa. Yesterday, when number 10, he spoke that they will prioritize traditional leaders. So my question is, what role do traditional leaders play in politics? Thank you very much. Peter Machaba from Tembisa.
Good morning, Clement and team. My question to the IFP president. The IFP says it will roll out free basic education while reforming NSFAS. My question is, why are they rolling out free basic? Why are they rolling out free basic education? Because to me, it means that only basic education will be free. What about tertiary institutions?
Yeah, Mr. Thabisa, you've already answered that first question. If you can quickly answer the last two questions, prioritizing traditional leaders and their role in politics, and the one around free basic education.
Let me start with the one for free basic education. Of course, more emphasis should be done at the background. And we said we will reprioritize and refocus the money that is spent at the tertiary level. The whole system under NSFAS controlled somewhere have many challenges. This system should be brought closer to the institutions to make it more effective and timeously. We believe in free education from primary A stage up to tertiary institution, but you must reform the NSFAS. Many students stay almost middle of the year, having not received the money that has been approved, and they stay without food and without accommodation, yet they are declared beneficiaries of NSFAS. That is where we think there must be more improvement, not that we are against any free education at a tertiary level. Regarding the issue of Amakhosi, the IFP believes there should be a clear definition in terms of powers, roles, and functions of traditional leaders to be defined in terms of the law, which is not yet the case up to now. And Amakhosi plays an important role in the society. The whole institution should be integrated together with a democratic system. You know, if you say Amakhosi must be part of the, what you call, the local government sphere, but they don't have a right to vote, you just make them spectators. If you don't need them, say they must not be part. If you need them, don't say be part, but spectators. We are saying give clear definition, clear role, roles, powers, and functions to contribute in the democratic dispensation and the welfare of the people of our country.
IFP leader, Velenkosini Thabisa, thank you so much for your time this morning.